Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us today on our podcast series, Mergers in the Post-Pandemic Era. I'm Eric Winston. I'm the General Counsel and Chief Ethics and Compliance Officer at Emphasis.
Hey, and I'm Vaibhav Parikh, Leader at Nishidesh Associates and Co-Head of M&A and Private Equity Practice.
Welcome back. In our last episode, we looked at M&A trends over the last 2 years. So, what can we expect next?
So let me go a little further on it, Eric. Now, when we, you know, what is your thoughts on how it is likely to go in forward in future? And what do company now look in when they acquire, how they actually do the M&A, how the integration happens? You know, pre-COVID, we all knew how things were going, but post-COVID has changed it. There are different areas or different things which they are now worried about, more than what they're worried about before. Or they do things differently because of, you know, people don't travel as much. So, you know, a lot of things are done remotely. So how is that impacted M&A, or how will that impact M&A?
Yeah, well, look, I do think some of the restrictions related to COVID are easing, right? So I think that will start to put things back to some semblance of or closer to normalcy. That being said, what we've seen and what I've seen is there's no doubt that in this post-pandemic M&A world, there are changes in how companies, or how Emphasis anyway, is undertaking or viewing certain aspects of the process, right? And of course, the first one that comes to mind, which I think you're referring to, is how diligence takes place. I say specifically for us, as a IT solutions services company, our lifeblood and who we are is, you know, we're a company of people that provides services performed by people. So when we acquire particularly capabilities, which is what we have done, for us it's about the people. And so in diligence, you know, while we all have gotten a lot more used to virtual communications and are a lot more comfortable with those, you know, Zoom or WebEx meetings that we've been involved in, there is absolutely something about sitting across the table from the people you will be working with shoulder to shoulder when the deal's done, and ensuring that there's a fit, particularly culturally, in the acquisition. So I think in that way, one, we've had to become accustomed to these virtual interactions. And two, we've actually thought about different ways to create those connects that you don't get to do in person. And again, lucky for Emphasis, we're a global company. And so we do have, to take the example, presence in the UK. And so while our deal team was US-based in this UK acquisition, we had folks on the ground in the UK who we deputized, if you will, to go meet with the people from the company we were acquiring, actually in a park in London, outdoors and in a, you know, a safe environment, to have those discussions and to get to know one another and to learn more about how they work, how we work, and was this in fact something that we thought would be a good fit for us all. So that's sort of one example of diligence. And I think there's still many other examples, whether it's related to valuations is another, how we're looking at, you know, the financials of companies, right? You've got a period of pre-pandemic financials, you know, the midst of the pandemic, early pandemic financials, and the post-pandemic world of financials. And what does that look like? And how do you reconcile those things? And how do you come up with a valuation and a model that works for both companies, right? That gets you someplace where there's comfort for both parties. So those are two areas. I think there's so much more to say on those two topics. And maybe if I could, I might tease even our next podcast on some of those issues, but I don't know.
Let us do that. But what you said, Eric, you know, is so correct, right? What we have also seen is there's a lot of informality in discussions now. So pre-COVID, we were, you know, all these discussions which we used to have was a lot more formal, in a room with a lot of people with suits and tie, having, coffees and teas along with biscuits or pizzas or whatever it is, and trying to work almost 24 hours, right? Since you don't have more than 24 hours, I limit to 24 hours, you know. We lawyers could have worked 26 hours if it was possible. But, you know, it has suddenly become a lot more informal. You know, when you said you met in a park, right? You couldn't see this option pre-COVID time at all. You know, nobody will meet in a park to discuss. And the moment you meet in a park, there's a lot of informality, a lot of feeling of taking things a little bit less strenuously as, you know, we are used. And I think that has also affected how people do deals or how people do integration post deals. And yes, this is a topic which we should handle it post in a separate point. But I want to just mention two or three things where I have seen focus has increased or just come new. And there's two or three things which I see, and maybe again, this is a topic for deeper discussion.
Sure.
Has been one on digital security and second on climate change, ESG, but specifically climate change. Now, that's where I'm seeing a change in last 2 years. I think in digital security, what we are seeing is since everything is being digitalized, so companies which were not really as exposed to cybersecurity threats and others are now exposed more, and they may not even be ready for it. I take Zoom as an example. You know, how many times you heard initially that Zoom got hacked in and, you know, a lot of unwanted videos and things were shown on Zoom conference. It was not that Zoom did not think about it, but the growth at which they moved once the pandemic hit, their capability of ensuring that it's digitally secure was not something that could keep it with that pace. That is what we are seeing, that a lot of people now are saying that everything is becoming online. We are digitalizing everything in a very fast manner. And digital security then becomes very critical. We are in that area where this particular space of digital security or cyber security will take even more prominence than what it is today, because a lot of companies' performance or, you know, outlook, reputation will depend on cybersecurity. You know, you don't want some of those hacks. You don't want things to be compromised. You don't want reputation to be damaged. You don't want your users' information to be compromised. So that area is where we are seeing a lot of thoughts being given. And second is climate change and ESG. Climate change, in particular ESG in general. Governance always was a focus areas for last few years. At least I had seen in terms of governance. But climate change has changed drastically. I am personally seeing people are putting clauses in the agreements on ESG. People are asking, what's your plan for climate change? What are you doing to make sure it's sustainable? So those kind of questions, which were generally not on top of the priority, you know, sometimes it was just a footnote in a document or something, but never really picked up, are becoming mainstream discussion. I don't know, Eric, are you seeing this also?
Yeah, so absolutely on both counts. So cybersecurity has been top of mind, one for the reasons you said, which is the digitization and the move online and to e-commerce, et cetera, but also with the rise of work from home, right? People have moved to work from home, which has caused and created lots of other sort of not necessarily highlighted security issues that companies are now dealing with. So you've got the questions about how is a target dealing with cybersecurity? Are they working from home? Are they interacting with their clients from their home in secure network? And how is all that happening? So we've seen, you know, a rise in, as if it wasn't important before, it's even more important, the CRO's role in M&A activity and making sure they're plugged in early to help with the diligence on clients. And what does that look like in a lot of different vectors, particularly work from home? So I think that's absolutely true. In ESG, we're seeing the same things. In fact, even, and I'll say as sort of in a related way to ESG and, you know, environmental issues and sustainability issues, I've also seen a rise in D&I as a big topic in discussions, topics that we are looking at with our targets, but targets are looking at with us. So I think these things are running both ways for in the M&A community. And I think they're here to stay. And we ought to be thinking about them irrespective of M&A activity, because they're important to, you know, to the world at large. But also, I think in the M&A environment, they're important to the various risks, cultural fits, and the larger global community and how we are all impacting that. So there's no doubt we've seen a lot more of it. And I think it's, again, it's here to stay. And I think it's important, and we ought to all be thinking about it.
Absolutely. In fact, that just reminded me, Eric, when you were saying, I was reading somewhere, I was hearing, and there were companies which were not doing well on the ESG rank, and they acquired other companies so that they can get better at the ESG rank, because the investors and the people were actually looking at that very carefully, and they say you need to do better, and they say, okay, what is a better way to do than acquire a company which is doing very great and maybe imbibe their philosophy or their, you know, learn from there and become better? Or if you acquire them, then that will rub off, ranking will rub off, and they will improve on ranking. So people have acquired companies just from ESG perspective and not just looking at the ESG when they acquire companies. You know, that's been interesting development. But I think this is great, Eric. We need to start discussing all these topics, what we just raised about how integration is happening, how documentation is happening, how diligence is happening, some of these issues which are affecting and how they are affecting, I mean, maybe in deeper. And that's something which we will do over coming weeks.
Yeah, no. I look forward to our further discussions and our chance to chat more. This has really been great for me. I guess maybe in closing, as you said, there are reasons to be optimistic. And you know, on a micro level, there's a lot more to talk about when it comes to, again, diligence, valuation, deal certainty, and cybersecurity, ESG, and so on. And I look forward to exploring these with you, Vaibhav, and a great way for me to spend my morning. So thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, Eric, we will keep on discussing these points, and we will take each topic and go into detail. But you know, I also conclude with saying that, you know, I think these are exciting times. These are bad times for a lot of people and world in general. But you know, if you look at the silver lining, you become optimistic. And I always feel that, you know, that's the way the world needs to look at it. You always look at what is good in, you know, existing today. And I feel that we are living in pretty exciting time. A lot of new things are going to happen. Things which we've not seen are going to happen in industries where we not really see, you know, things are going to happen. So, you know, it's pretty exciting to see how things develop and how we can contribute to that develop.
Completely agree. I think it's a time of potential accelerated growth and opportunity. So I'm excited about it. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. And we all need to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
So do join us. Send us your questions. We'd love to hear from you. What are you working on? As long as it's legal for you to share. Are there any ESG implications and impact that you're working on? We'd love to know about that. Send us your questions, recommendations, your views.
Our email address and social media handles are in the podcast description below. Please do like, follow, and share on all channels, and we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks.